Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise and glory this morning. Amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for an opportunity to gather together once again with fellow believers in the house of the Lord to give glory to your name and to hear the word of the Lord. And we thank you, Lord, because the entrance of your word brings light. And we ask, Lord, that you glorify yourself and open our understanding this morning to understand what you will have us know out of the word of the Lord. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I want to say to everybody that's here, I've been wanting to teach this subject for a long time. And in case you're new, you know, let me say right away that we don't talk about this all the time. But this is the first time in almost 4.5 years since we opened this church that I'll be teaching on this subject. And people have asked me from time to time, and we preach on faith and deliverance and the power of God every time and every service and so on. How many of you know that we do that all the time? Amen. We see the power of God move here all the time. So this is going to be different today, and I will not be preaching. I am going to be teaching. So that means you better get something to write down, your scriptures and so on, because on the subject this morning is tithes and offerings. Amen? And I'm going to be preaching or teaching on the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth that has to do with this subject. You know, but before I start, let me say here in the book, I'm going to start here in the book of Jeremiah chapter 31. And I'm going to start at verse 31 to 34. And the Lord said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." Amen? Come on, people. You know? And he said, look, it's not going to be, it will not be like the covenant that I made with them before when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke and did not remain in my statutes. But this is the covenant, saith the Lord, that I will make with them in those days. I will write my laws, amen, in their inward parts and upon their hearts. And not this time I will not write it upon tables of stone, but I will write it upon their hearts. Because the tables of stone made their hearts become like tables of stone. You know, but I will write it upon their hearts. Amen. And it shall come to pass at that time that there will be no need for anybody to teach his brother to say, know the Lord, or anybody else, because they will all know me. From the least to the greatest, saith the Lord. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Can you say praise the name of the Lord for that? A new covenant will I make with them in those days. Well, why did I read that? You know, because, you know, there are as many, in fact, I've done due diligence in searching out this topic, you know, for a long time, and I've seen that there are as many writers that write about that tithing is something that we should be doing in the New Testament, and there are as many that write that tithing is something that we should not be doing. You know, so you know, but as I promised you, this will be, you know, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But I will also talk about offerings and so on. You know, so. After I give the introduction, that I'm going to go very, very quickly because there's a lot of things to say, you know, so you're going to have to follow quickly. If you miss any part of it, we will put the teaching out on the internet. It will be there later on today. So you can go to gmichurch.org and check it out under the sermons tab. It will be there. And then, you know, so, but, so that's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, let me also say this, you know, because of the way that the subject of money has been handled, you know, if you want to talk about money, sometimes, you know, people don't appreciate it too much, because a lot of churches and a lot of ministries, they spend too much time just talking about that. So when we started this church, you know, well, I said, well, we're not going to talk about money too much. You know, we'll take up offering and so forth like that, but, you know, we don't want to beat people over the head before they can give. Amen? Amen, people? And we try not to do that. But that's the reason why after 4.5 years of opening this church, this is the first time that I'm teaching, or any of the pastors here, teaching on the subject of tithes and offerings. You know, which you could have been preaching every week or every other week or every other month like they do in other places. You know, but a lot, enough people asked me about it, you know, and God just was confirming that it was time for me to do this all the time. And everybody, people call me and say, well, you know, we need to know about this and so forth. And I just kept putting off and putting off, you know, and finally I decided, and I announced here in the church about 2 Sundays ago that I was going to do this today, you know, and then to confirm it too, you know, I met with a pastor, a friend of mine during the week, and we were just talking about, you know, some things, and invited me to come, you know, and so on, his church, and I was talking, and he said, well, you know, he said, when you come to my church, will you teach about tithes and offerings? I said, no. Amen. I said, I'm not going to teach you about tithes and offerings, but that came out of his mouth because the Lord wanted to, because it was just a couple of days ago. The Lord just wanted to confirm to me that it was time for me to teach this, because I knew I was going to do it. But I said, oh no, I'm not going to teach tithes and offerings at your church. I didn't even teach it in my church for 4.5 years. That's your business. Amen? Praise God. You know, when I come there, I don't preach the power of God. You know, I don't talk about money. You know, all right. Praise God. You know, but we are going to do that today. Amen? You know, because Paul said, I shunned not to declare unto you the full counsel of God. Everything. Praise God. You know, so, you know, I'm going to try to break it down. You know, now, there are reasons why some people, you know, there's a very wide spectrum on this subject, especially tithes, you know. I mean, most believers believe that you should give. Amen? Amen? I don't think anybody in their right mind would say you shouldn't give. You know, so people don't have an issue about that. And I don't think that anybody, you know, disagrees that tithing was commanded at some point in time. Now, the disagreement or the controversy is whether that tithing was for today, or was it just for the Old Testament, or is it just for the Jews, and so on and so forth. You know, and I have read many opinions about it one way or the other. Now, some people say that, you know, now there's many pastors and teachers and so forth, you know, that will talk, you know, about money. And most of the time, what I've noticed is that the pastors, you know, that have a congregation or a ministry or something to support, they are generally in support of tithing. Amen? Because they need that money, you know. Even if they believe otherwise, they will preach it that way because, you know, they need that money, you know. And the ones that, and I've also noticed that the ones that are vocal against tithing, it's either they don't have a congregation, you know, or maybe they were kicked out of their congregation or something. And then they begin to say, well, we don't need to do that, or so on and so forth, you know. So, you know, everybody has some, you know, some reason for doing that, you know. I read a lot of articles that people say, and everybody has scriptures to quote for everything, every position that, you know, that they held, you know. And, well, you know, in this church, as you know, and in case you're new, if you don't know, those of us that are here, myself and the other pastors and all the other wonderful people that help us here, we're doing it all on a volunteer basis, so we don't get paid, or we don't, you know, take a salary, you know. So, you know, and so from that position, I may say that, well, you know, since I don't need the tithing, or, you know, because, you know, I'm not using the tithing to pay my salary. I pay, you know, I give offerings to the church just like everybody else, you know. So I can say, well, you know, we don't need it, you know, and so on, you know. Or I could say, well, we need it because, you know, we need money for the church, you know. So, but what does the Bible actually say? Amen? So that's what I want to talk about today. So let's go. The first time that, now I'm going to break this into two parts. I'm going to be talking about tithes, and I'm going to be talking about offerings. You know, now, you know, the offering part, you know, I will leave till later in case there's less time. You know, but let me start with tithes. And I'm going to, let me give this like a dissertation. You know, when you write a paper, you know, you give a little abstract of what you're going to be talking about. Or when you go into, you know, when you are, if you are a, you know, if you are a, an attorney that has to present a case, you know, and so forth. You know, when you go before the jury, you lay out your case and you say, well, the evidence will show such and such and such, you know, and so on. You say what you are going to say. Amen? You know, you give an introduction of what you're going to say ahead of time. And then when it comes time, you actually say what you say. And if you're writing a paper, you give an abstract of what you are going to write. And then you give the body of the thing, you know, the subject. And then later on, you give a conclusion. Is that correct? Okay, so let me give you the abstract now. Here's what I'm going to be talking about. I will be talking about, you know, what does the Bible say about this subject of tithes and offerings, you know. And I'm going to look at it from everything that the Bible has to say about it. Not from my perspective, but from the perspective of the Bible. You know, and then, I'm also going to answer some questions, some hard questions, you know, which I know people have asked or in people's minds. I'm going to pose those questions and answer them. And I'm going to, you know, deal with this subject comprehensively. You know, then we're going to find out what it is that the Lord is really telling us on this subject. So let's go here. On the subject of tithes, the first time, now there is something called the law of first mention. The first time that tithes was mentioned in the Bible, the very first time, was in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 20. So I'm going to take a little bit of time to read this because, you know, this is the law of first mention. So Genesis chapter 14, but let me start at verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, you know, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. You know? Now, the background to this story, if you read it from verse 17, you know, Abraham was coming back from the slaughter of the kings and so forth, and he met this Melchizedek. And this is Melchizedek, who was the priest of the Most High. We find out a little more about Melchizedek in Hebrews chapter 7. So this guy brought bread and wine. It looked like, you know, something that a priest would do, you know, bread and wine. And then, you know, he blessed, you know, blessed Abraham and so forth. And in verse 20, and, you know, he said, verse 19, he said, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thy enemies into thy hands. And then, and he gave him tithes of all. So Abraham gave tithes of all. And this is also described in Hebrews chapter 17. So Abraham gave tithes to this Melchizedek. This is the first time that we heard about tithes. Now, there is no record that Abraham was commanded to give tithes. There is no record that God gave him any instruction. You know, but he did it. Amen? Would you agree that he did? Okay. And there is no record that God instructed him to do that. So that's the first time. Now, we also find that the second time that, you know, this was mentioned, this time it was Jacob, somebody, you know, one of his, you might say, grandchildren and so on, Abraham's. This is in Genesis chapter 28. So let me read that real quickly. Genesis 28, and starting at verse 20. So this is Genesis 28. This is Jacob now. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. I mean, I'm going to build up, you know, God's house over here. And all that thou shalt give me, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee the tenth of all. Now, I should mention right here that tithe means one-tenth or 10%. You know, so that's the meaning of it. Tithe is one-tenth or 10%. So we see Jacob here making a vow to the Lord, that if the Lord does all these things to him and so forth, and brings him back in peace and prospers his way, that he's going to come back and rejoice in the house of the Lord and give this tenth of everything to the Lord. So these are the first couple of times that we see the use of the word tithe or tenth, you know, and both times you know, in the case of Jacob, we might say, well, maybe it's something he learned by tradition from the family. Maybe since his grandfather Abraham was doing it, you know, we don't know that Isaac did it, but, you know, maybe they did, maybe he ran the family, maybe he learned that. But we don't see, up to this point in time, any commandment to do the same. Amen? We just see that these folks did that. Now, so that's the first couple of times that tithing was mentioned in the Bible. Now, let me also say that the first time that tithing was commanded in the Bible was many, many, many years later on. Later than these two facts. In fact, it came under the Levitical, quote-unquote, priesthood, if you want. You know, so, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 27. Now, I want to interject something, and the Lord's bringing this to my mind. You know, the Spirit of God will teach us this morning if we allow ourselves to be teachable. Amen? Because the wisdom that comes from above is gentle, and it's peaceable, and it's teachable. So I don't want anybody to say in here, well, I already know about that. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. You know, just listen with an open heart. Praise God. And if you didn't know, then you better listen. You know, so Leviticus 27, the first time commanded here is in chapter 27 of Leviticus, verses 30 to 32. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, and so forth, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Now, so we see that that's the first time that the Lord is point blank laying claim to this tithe. And he's saying that it is the Lord. You know. Amen? It is the Lord's. And he said. Okay. Now, verse 31 is something that, you know, many of you may not know. But I'm going to say it here. You know, I was going to say this part later on, but I'm going to just say it now, since it's part of this verse, in case I forget, you know. Verse 31 says, and if a man will at all redeem any of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And some of you may not know that, you know, that's in the scriptures. You know, now this is what he commanded him. Now, what does that mean? In other words, if you, you know, he said, look, if you, you know, you have to give 10% of everything, you know, that is, you know, whether it's the land, the seed, whatever. He said, that belongs to the Lord. You know, that's what the Lord, he laid claim on that 10%. You know. But he said, look, if you will by any means redeem your tithe, then you have to add a fifth part, which is 20%, to it. Now, so the total becomes 12% of the original value. It's just a little math. So 10% of the original plus 20% of the 10%. You know, so that's 2% of the original. So that's 12% at the end. Anybody still following the math? Okay, so he said that. I didn't say it. You know, that's if you redeem, which means you use it for something else or you keep it for yourself, you know, then you owe him 2% interest on top of it. You know, that's what he said. You know, and concerning the tithe of the herd and the flock and so forth, you know, and everything I've asked, and I said, look, it is the Lord's, it belongs to the Lord. So we see that this is the first time, you know, that this was commanded. But, you know, he's going to clarify these things later on, you know, and we're going to see. Now, one of the reasons why the proponents of the fact that New Testament believers don't need to be tithing as though they were under the law is because, you know, the scripture says we are no longer under the law and so forth like that. You know, so, and the law was given under the Levitical priesthood. That's where the law was given. In case you don't know that the law was given under the Levitical priesthood, turn to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 11. Hebrews 7 and verse 11. Now, again, this is going to be different today because I'm just teaching, and this is not my usual way of preaching, but I need to bring this subject Hebrews 7 and 11 will tell you, it said, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, so he said it point blank there, you know, then what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and should not be called after the order of Aaron? So we see that God is making comparison here, you know, of the Levitical priesthood versus the Melchizedek priesthood. And he's saying, look, God found fault. You can read, you know, the rest of the chapters in Hebrews 7, 8, 9, and 10. God found fault with the Levitical priesthood, and so he did away with it. You know, because they, you know, the priesthood could not make, you know, those people perfect. Every year they had to bring sacrifice, sin, and so forth as a remembrance all the time of their sin every time it came. And the high priest had to do it over and over and over and over again. And the blood of goats and bulls was what they were using back then. So finally, the perfect sacrifice, which was Christ, came. Amen? Amen. And he took care of business. You know, but let's see what Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to start at verse 17. This is Jesus speaking on the famous Sermon on the Mount. And we talk about the Beatitudes, you know, blessed be, you know, those that are pure in heart and the merciful and all that. You know, and down at this point in verse 17 of Matthew 5, he says, think ye not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. Now, he said, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Can you say amen? Now, the law and the prophets, and we taught this in our Bible class several months ago, the law and the prophets, the law is the books of the Torah, you know, which is the books of Moses, the first five books, the Genesis, you know, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then the prophets, you know, all those prophets there, and so forth. The Psalms also being part of the prophets, you know, just in case you're wondering, because, you know, they from time to time, you know, reference is made to David being a prophet, spoke before of the Lord, and so on. So, there are many prophecies in the book of Psalms, you know, so we know that that's counted in there. And so Jesus said, well, look, I didn't come to destroy, but I came to fulfill. Well, you know, in the book of Hebrews, it looks like the Levitical priesthood is gone away with. And so this new priesthood, now, this order of Melchizedek that came in, you know, I can't really teach too deeply on that because he wouldn't let me have time to teach on everything else. But this new priest, Melchizedek, of whom Christ was made after his order instead of the order of Aaron, is a new priesthood, we are told. You know, so if he did away with that, the other priesthood, and he established this new priesthood, then it would seem like, look, everything that came under that old priesthood that was done away with, you know, we don't need anymore because we're now under this new priesthood. I mean, that's, you know, that's one way of looking at it. That's what the people that say you don't need to be doing the diets and so forth anymore. You know, of course, that's what they say. You know, now, you know that, you know, before I address that point, let me go forward and read something else where God finally broke down what he wants them to do, the purpose of the tithing and so forth. You know, so I'm going to go forward into that, and then I'll come back and address, you know, is it something that needs to be done or not? In Numbers chapter 18. And I'm going to read from verses 21 to about 29. Now this is a part that I want to take time to just read it out to you. Okay, let me start at verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, because we want to know, want to make sure that we know it is the Lord speaking. The Lord spake unto Aaron, saying that, you know, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. Amen? Does that sound like something he told Abraham? I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. That's right. You know, so he told Aaron this, you know, look, I'm going to give the children of Israel, you know, the land and so forth, but, you know, you, Aaron, and your sons, And behold, I have given the children of Levi, you know, came through Aaron's line, Levi. And, you know, I mean, Levi and Aaron, they were all in that line. you know, and I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, so he said, look, all the other tribes, I'm going to give them land and so forth, you know. But the Levi and so on, who are the generation of priests, they will have no inheritance in their land. Their own portion is going to be that tenth, which is the tithe of all of the other tribes, okay, because of the work that they do, and the work for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and so on. Now, verse 24, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, remember the Lord made claim of this tithing back in Leviticus 27, he said, it is mine. Now, so he's now saying, these tithes, which are mine, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. So it was his, but he gave it to the Levites. Hello, are you still following me? Okay, so I've given it to the Levites to inherit. Therefore, I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. So don't worry about the land, don't worry about all that stuff, you know. You're not going to have any part in that. You just do this business over here of this service of the tabernacle of the congregation. But I will give you the tithes which the children of Israel should bring to me, because the tithes are mine. I'm going to give them to you. Amen? That's what he said. Okay. And then he went on to say in verse 26, thus shall you speak unto the Levites. So he's done, you know, telling them that, look, I'm going to give you all the tithes and so forth. But now, what is he going to tell the Levites now? Okay, themselves, when they get all the tithes. When you take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. You know, so he's saying that, look, you get the tithes which belong to me. I've given them to you for inheritance. But when you receive the tithes, you now give a tithe of the tithe. Hello? Is that what he said? Okay. So you now give a tithe of the tithe. You know, and if you go down further and read it, he said, thus, in verse 28, thus ye shall offer up an heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes when you receive of the children of Israel, and ye shall give therefore, you know, the Lord's heave offering unto Aaron the priest. So we see what he did here. He commanded the children of Israel to give tithes to the Levites, which are the priests. And then he commanded the priests, when they received the tithes, to give a tithe of their tithe to the high priest. Hello? Is that what he said? Okay, so I want to make sure that that's clear. So we are laying a pattern here. Okay, so now, the pattern of the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, and all these things that he did, you know, Hebrews tells us that, look, that priesthood did not get the job done. So God did away with it and brought a new priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. In case you are wondering who Melchizedek is, you have to read it in chapter 7 of Hebrews. You know, but I don't have time to go into all of that this morning. You know, so, but we've seen a progression here of how they give the tithes, and then the people who receive the tithes give the tithes. You know, and so on. So we've seen that. Now, let's go on to address a few more subjects here. What do you know, where is the place, you know, because of course we know that he said, you know, give the tithes, but, you know, here's something else that God will tell them. A lot of instructions that he gave them in the Old Testament over and over again. Sometimes some of the instructions that he gave in Leviticus, he came back, you know, and told them some more in Numbers, and then in Deuteronomy, he came back and kind of like, you know, expanded on some of these things a little bit so that people can have a better understanding. Now here's something he said to them in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 5. I'm going to read verses 5 to 6 and then verse 11. This is Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. So unto that place where the Lord shall choose to put his name there, that's the place that you should choose to, you know, to put his name there, that's the place that you should seek, and you shall come there. And To that place shall you bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and your heave offerings of your land and your pay your vows and your free will offerings. So we begin to see that he's now, you know, of course, he's been talking about free will offerings before, also in Leviticus and Numbers and so forth. So, but he's now distinguishing between the tithes and the free will offerings, you know, and all of these other things, and the firstlings of your herds. And so there's the tithes, there's the free will offerings. So he said, bring these tithes into the place where I've chosen to put my name there, you know. So, and of course, the children of Israel, they recognize all these things, and you know, and they supposedly carried on these commandments for a while, you know. But after a while, I think they slacked off, you know. And by the time Malachi came on the scene, in Malachi chapter 3, let's read what the Lord had to say. In Malachi chapter 3, now this is one of the, this might be one of the scriptures that some of the proponents of tithing, even in the New Testament, you know, use because of what it says here. In Malachi chapter 3, here's what it says. Verse 8, will a man rob God? He asked them. This is God speaking. Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have ye robbed thee? Wherein have we robbed thee? And he said, in tithes and offerings. So God is saying that these people have robbed him in tithes and offerings. Now he said, well, ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now he's going to remind them, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not enough room to receive it. That I will rebuke the reviler for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast out fruit before the, you know, time, and so forth, saith the Lord of hosts. So the Lord is saying, look, ye have robbed me in tithes and offerings. So I want everybody to look at me for a minute. Now, remember the Lord said these tithes are mine. And I want to make it very plain, in case you're wondering, you know, you cannot rob somebody of something that belongs to that, you know, that, I mean, well, let me put it this way. You know, let's say it was my birthday, you know, and you didn't give me any gift, any presents and so forth. I mean, can I say that you guys have robbed me of my birthday present? Can I say that? I mean, you haven't robbed me. You didn't give me the present, but you didn't rob me. You know, to rob somebody, you have to take something that belongs to that person. So for God to say, ye have robbed me, it means he's reminding them of the claim that the tithes belong to him in the first place. And this was something that he's saying, that this was mine in the first place, it was not yours to keep. But by you keeping back and not giving it to me, you have robbed me. Everybody understand that? Okay, so this is not something that they had a free will to give. Huh? You know, you had a free will to give me a birthday present. If you don't give it, I can't say you robbed me. You just did not give me a present. You know, but if it was something that I loaned you and you did not return it to me, then I can say you have robbed me. Amen? Because it was mine. And you're now keeping it and you refuse to give it back to me. So I can say that you have robbed me. So God is saying that, look, you have robbed me because you have kept back the tithes and the offerings. And so he's reminding them, bring the tithes and the offerings into my storehouse so that there may be meat in my house. Now, of course, meat in the house, you know, this God is not the one that's going to eat it. Amen? Amen? That's for the Levites and for the priests and so on, you know. And then he said, look, I will also, you know, if you do this, I will do this for you too as well, you know. So, you know, and, you know, let me pause and say something here right now, you know, in case I don't have a chance to say it later. I have heard people preach on, people use all kinds of gimmicks to get money from the people. How many of you have ever seen that? Oh yeah, I have seen it, you know. I don't know if you think it's gimmicks or not, but I have seen all kinds of gimmicks that people use to get money from the people. And they will preach the scriptures sideways, upside down, any which way they want, so that they can get money from the people. You know, and I've seen this as well, you know. I've seen where the preachers will say, you know, I've heard preachers that will say, look, you know, let's say the preacher has a need. The preacher wants to raise $400,000 or whatever. And the preacher will have a need and he will come and say, look, you know, you all, you know, you should bring your tithes, you know, you're not giving your tithes, and that's why you're doing this and so forth, and that's why all these calamities come upon you. That's why the Lord, you know, is not rebuking you, the virus and so forth. You bring the tithes, and this is how God's going to bless you. If you bring your tithes, if you give your offerings, that's how God's going to bless you and so forth. So, you know, they now encourage and persuade the people to give money to fulfill the present need. How many of you are still with me? You know, like, you know, we have some money. We have a project. So, you know, I can persuade the people to give money and so forth. And I tell the people that, look, if you give, that's how God's going to bless you. Because you need to give so that God can bless you. And they talk about tithes, they talk about offerings, they mingle it up together. And they say people have to give, you know, so that God can bless them and so forth like that. Have you heard that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Anybody heard that?
Yeah.
All right. Well, not in this church, but, you know, but you've heard it, you know. Well, let me put it to you this way. The Bible does say that, you know, anybody that teaches men something and don't do it, they will be the least in the kingdom of God. How many of you know that's true? Now, these preachers do not do what they teach. They don't. Why? Because if they believe that by you sowing a seed is how your needs will be met, why don't they sow a seed for their needs to be met? Anybody still with me? You know, I have, you know, they will say, you know, we have a project, 10,000, 1 million, whatever, and so forth. They want you to sow a seed. And they tell you that that's how your needs will be met. Well, if they believe that, why don't they sow a seed into the lives of the people? Amen? And then let that need be met. But of course, they don't believe it. You know, they just, it's just a cheap way, cheap gimmick for them to get your money. Now, because of all that uncertain soundness in their preaching, it has made some people to back away when you talk about the subject of money or tithes or offerings. Anybody still with me? But I'm going to tell it the way it is today. You know, now, first of all, let me also say this. Now, any believer that has a problem with giving, they've got a wrong spirit. Hello? Because the gospel was based on giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So if you have trouble with giving of any kind, you got the wrong spirit, and you need deliverance. Amen. Praise God. You know, but that's it with those preachers. You know, we don't have any of those preachers in this church. You know, we thank God for that. You know, so but there's no need for anybody to use any gimmick, you know, to try to get money from people. You just need to tell the people the truth, and let every man be fully persuaded in his mind. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let me jump here and show you something in Proverbs chapter 3. And I will give you a conclusion. After all of this, I'm going to give you a conclusion of exactly. And you will see also where we're going with this. In Proverbs chapter 3, I am going to read a few verses there. And then you're going to see what the Lord says. And here is, you know, for some of you have been giving tithes and offerings. You know, I grew up, I should say this in case people are wondering. And I will give you a personal testimony sometime in the middle of this teaching if I get a chance. You know, I grew up in an environment where I, you know, believed that I should give tithes and offerings, and sometimes I did, and you know, sometimes I didn't do very well with it. This was many, many years ago. You know, and some of the times, even when I thought I should give, you know, I didn't do it faithfully, you know, because there was always some excuse. There was always, well, I got these bills to pay, you know, I got, you know, I'm a little short over here. Anybody resemble those remarks? Oh yes, you know, people give all kinds of excuses now. Well, in Proverbs chapter 3, you know, he says here from verse 7, be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Amen? Is that a promise?
Yeah.
Now that's not necessarily tied to tithing. He's just talking of honor the Lord with the first fruits. But, you know, the first fruits, you know. Now, let me say this about, you know, if you believe that you should give tithes or whatever, and I'm going to make it very clear as this mess, you know, this teaching proceeds. You know, God wants first fruits. Hello? Come on, people. Not last fruits. You know, but most people give to God out of their last fruits. You know, what does that mean? Well, first, you know, Uncle Sam takes his own. And then your 401k and your 5013 and whatever it is. You know, all these savings plans and health savings plans and dental savings plans and your retirement plan and all of these things. How many of you know what I'm talking about? They all take their own off the top. And then, you know, whatever is left, then you say, well, all right, well, let me give my tithe out of that. Well, you know, the definition of tithe, that's not the definition of tithe at all. So let me just say that. You know, let me clear that up right now. That is not the definition of tithe. Honor the Lord with the first fruits, not last fruits. You know, so let me make it very plain. If you receive $1,000 gross, your tithe, now this is, I'm not talking about whether you should give or not, but I'm just defining what the tithe should be now. You know, your tithe will be $100 of that $1,000. Not the $641.17 that they gave you after they removed all those other things. And then you give the Lord the tithe of that. No, that's not it. The Lord wants first fruits and not last fruits. Hello? So, you know, that's one of the reasons why I pray that God should open everybody's ears to be teachable this morning. So, the you know, that's the correct way, the correct definition of tithe is of the gross. Now, that's easy for you to define for somebody who is salaried. What about somebody who is in business or enterprise? You know, how do they calculate? Now, assuming that they agree that they should pay tithes, you know, I'm just, this is an assumption. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Assuming that we agree that we should pay tithes, then how do I calculate my tithes? You know, that's what I'm saying now. You know, I'm saying that, well, those of you who are salaried, your tithes should be off your gross, not off your net. Because if it is off your net, then that's not first fruits, that's last fruits. After government took their own and all these other savings plans took their own. So that's the last fruit. Does everybody understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, well, understand. You may not agree, but you understand what I'm saying. It's what I asked. I'm not saying, does everybody agree? Does everybody understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whether you agree or not, that's not the issue. But I'm saying it the way it is. That's what tithe is. It's a 10% of the gross, not the bottom net. Okay, now, that's different in the case of business. How do you computed for business. You know, let's say I had $1,000 to start with in my hand, which I had by whatever means. And I invest this $1,000 into my business, you know, however. And then I make $200 extra. You know, so, you know, so let's say at the end I have $1,200, which I started with $1,000. Everybody still understand the example I'm giving?
Yes.
Started with $1,000, I invested it, but at the end I have $1,200. Well, the $1,000 that you had to start with was not money, that was an increase. Hello?
Right.
Because you had that $1,000 to start with. That's not an increase. The increase was the $200. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? I'm not asking if you agree, but you understand what I'm saying. You started out with 1,000, and then it increased to 1,200, so your increase is 200. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So in that case, your tithe will be on the 200, not the $1,200. Not on the $1,200, because you had the 1,000 to start with. Now, in the case of an employee, let me take you back to Israel. Back in those days, you know, they were shepherds, keepers of sheep and land and tillers of the land and so forth. That's where all their income came from, milking cows and doing all of these things. That's why when the Lord was talking to them, he was using all those things. You know, if they were in the contemporary business world today, like we have today, he'd probably use those same contemporary terms that we know today rather than milk and cow and land and so forth, you know. But whichever way it is, when you get the increase, you know, it is a 10% of the increase of the top rather than down the bottom. Because if it's down the bottom, it would be last fruits and not first fruits. Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, so what you do is, if you are in business, you know, you take the legitimate business investment that you made and subtract it from your total revenues and so forth like that, and the increase is your increase, you know. So you can't pay, you can't be paying, unless you didn't pay the tithe on the first 1,000, you can't pay the tithe again on the other. That's strictly the definition of the tithe. You know, you can do anything you want, you can give more or less, you know, but that's strictly the definition. Now, for somebody who's salaried though, say, well, you know, well, what about my salary? What can I deduct? Well, you know, the IRS has their own rules of what you can deduct. You know, amen? IRS has rules. You know, they come some common sense rules for businesses and things like that, and even for personal, you know, business expense and so forth, and employee expense and so on. You know, but there are some things that you really cannot deduct. You know, things that, I mean, this is just common sense now. You know, things that you know, if you are getting a benefit from the thing itself, you know, then that's not really something, you know, like, you know, let's put it this way. You know, if I have to go to work and I'm an employee, you know, and, you know, if it's not a special uniform or something I have to wear, you know, I have to, you know, if I'm wearing the clothes that I have anyhow, it wouldn't make sense for me to say that that's a business expense for me to, to try to deduct the cost of those clothes, because I was going to wear clothes anyway. Amen? Are you still with me? Okay. Now, you know, this may get a little technical for you, but, you know, I have to just say all of this, you know. In the same way, you know, if you're going to eat anyway, you know, whether you are on the job or at home, you're going to eat anyway. So even the IRS, they understand this. You know, so when you want to deduct the cost of meals, they don't even give you the full deduction of meals. They'll give you 50%, because they say, well, you're going to eat anyway. You know, so I'm going to eat anyway, whether I go to work or not. Amen? All right, so these are just common sense things. But if you look strictly on your salary, if you just look strictly on your salary, you know, then you should say, you know, if you want to give a tithe, it ought to be a tithe of your gross and not on your net. And if you don't give, I mean, assuming that you know, you think you should give, you understand that you should give, but you keep it back, then you owe the Lord another 20% of the tithe. We read that in Leviticus 27 and verses 30 through 31, particularly verse 31. You know, so, you know, and so that's all that. So that's a background for how you compute the taxes and all that and so forth. But here's what God wants you to do with giving. I mean, the tithes, and I meant tithes. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, let me read one quick verse to you here, and I got to hurry this along. Deuteronomy 14, and I'm going to just read verse 22. Say, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, you know, and so forth, the fruit bringeth forth year by year. Truly, you know, that's the key thing. Truly, he wants you to tithe and all that. So, you know, tithing is something that he wants us to do faithfully. Now, what about giving in general? Now, I don't think anybody, you know, now let me talk about the subject of whether tithing is something that is to be continued in the New Testament. You know, I don't think that anybody disagrees with the fact that tithing was commanded in the Old Testament. Amen? It was commanded. Nobody disagrees with that. You know, the question is it something that we should be doing now? I mean, if it is, I mean, how come these things are not talked about, you know, in the New Testament, and, you know, why didn't Jesus do it and so forth? I've heard people actually say that. You know, I've heard people, you know, allege that Jesus didn't do all these things and so on, and just because the Bible doesn't specifically talk about it. But I dare say that Jesus did not condemn tithing. You know, he didn't command it, but rather he, let's say, commended it, should we say? You know, in Matthew chapter 23, and verse 23. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, he said, look, you guys know how to tithe all kinds of things. you know how to tithe means and tithe this and tithe that, you know, but you don't do the weightier matters of the law. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye tithe of means and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Jesus is saying that, look, you're too consumed with all these other tithes and so forth that you need to do, but you're not even looking at doing the things that are even more important, like mercy and judgment and faith and so on. But he goes on to say, well, these, you know, ye ought to have done, which is the mercy, the judgment, and the faith, and not to leave the other undone. Amen? Did he say that? So, these you ought to do, this judgment, mercy, and faith, and so forth, but not to leave the other undone. But one time they asked Jesus, should we even pay taxes? You know, and Jesus said, well, you know, I don't, you know, before I ask you that, I'm going to ask you this. Show me a coin. And they showed him a coin. He said, whose image is that? It says Caesar. Said, well, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, you know, and so forth like that. You know, and how many of you know that one of Jesus' disciples that was called Judas Iscariot actually had the bag? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. The Bible says that he had the bag, you know, when they said, you know, and Jesus said, oh, you know, when somebody was, you know, anointing the body of Jesus and so forth like that, and Jesus, you know, he said, well, you know, why are we wasting this? Why don't we just sell this and put the money in the bag, you know, and so forth. The Bible says he said that because he was a thief and he had the bag. How many of you know that? So actually, there was one of Jesus' disciples that took up offerings. He had the bag. You know, so I don't know what they did in that bag, you know, but they did have that bag. Well, all of that, nonetheless, was done under the Old Testament. Because until Jesus actually died, it was still the Old Testament. Hello? Because the testament is not of force until the testator dies. That's what Hebrews teaches us. So, and that's why Jesus said, well, I didn't come to destroy the law. So he fulfilled a lot of it, you know, but he brought in some other new things. Like, look, you heard that, you know, you should, you know, take an eye out if somebody takes your eye out, but I'm going to tell you that, you know, next time you turn a different cheek. You know, you've heard that you should not commit adultery, but I'm going to tell you that, look, you know, it goes beyond that. If you look at a woman lustfully, you know, and so forth like that, you've already committed adultery. So he began to refine these things and so forth. Not exactly destroy the law, but taking it to a higher level. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, so we see that Jesus did not actually specifically say that people should not give, but he actually said, well, you should concentrate more on these things, but don't leave the other things undone. Now, in the New Testament, people have said, well, why is it that all the writers of the New Testament did not concentrate on this topic of tithing and so forth like that? You know, well, let me go back and tell you the reason why I read Jeremiah 31 and 31 at the beginning of the Lord is going to make a new covenant and write new laws in our hearts and so forth like that. You know, the covenant that was under the Levitical priesthood, the Lord did away with, you know, by bringing us a new covenant under the Melchizedek priesthood. Now, the Levitical priesthood was a priesthood of, you know, commandments. The priesthood under Melchizedek is a priesthood of grace. Hello? Now, you say, how does that tie into tithes and offerings? Well, let me read it to you here in Hebrews. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. And I'm going to bring out a vital point. In Hebrews chapter 7, this subject here is talking about all, you know, the things about Melchizedek and so forth like that, you know. And he's talking about Abraham when he met Melchizedek. Of course, we know we've read that in Genesis chapter 4, but you know, let me read a few verses to you here in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 5. And verily they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Now I want to also tell you that throughout the New Testament writers quoted freely from the Old Testament. freely. They would say, you know, David said this and the other said that, and Isaiah the prophet said that, and somebody said that. They quoted freely from the Old Testament all the time. And they, you know, they would use something, and every time they say, as it is written in the New Testament, they were referring to the Old Testament. Amen? Amen? Because there was no New Testament when Paul was writing those letters, or Peter or James or Jude or anything. There was no such thing as the Old Testament. All they had was New Testament. All they had was the Old Testament. Even Jesus quoted freely from the Old Testament. He went to the temple in Luke chapter 4 and took the book of Isaiah and found what we now call chapter 61 and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel and do all these things. How many of you know that? He quoted freely. And in fact, he told them, you know, when they accused him of breaking the Sabbath day, he said, have you not read what David did in the days of Abiathar the priest, how he went to the house of God and took this and that and so forth? You know, so he quoted freely from the Old Testament, you know. And so this writer here is quoting freely from this Old Testament and saying, look, and without all contradiction, verse 7, the less is blessed of the better. And here, he says, here, where is he talking about? Here. He's talking about in their time. Here, men that die receive tithes here. But there, you know, back in the day of Abraham and Melchizedek, he received them of whom it is witness that he liveth. He's talking about Melchizedek. So this, you know, it was common practice that they did these things anyway, because he's saying that, look, here, men receive. He's not using the past tense. Men receive tithes here. So he's talking about the present. Hello? Okay. He's talking about the present. But here's the difference that I want to bring to you. And as I may so say, verse 9, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Now let me bring this out here. And I'm going to tell you where I'm going with this. There are two sides to this thing. The tithing that Abraham did before the law was given was by revelation. And the law, the tithing that they did under the law was by commandment. Anybody still with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So the one was by revelation, because there was no commandment to Abraham to do it. The other was by commandment. Now, and I want you to see the difference. In Genesis chapter 14 and verse 20, we are told that Abraham gave tithes of all to Melchizedek. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 9, we are told that Levi paid tithes. So there is a difference between giving of tithes and paying of tithes. Hello? Now, I told you I'm going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The giving of tithes is by revelation. The paying of tithes is by commandment. You know, and it's kind of like a burden. You know, people are burdened. They feel burdened and they feel guilty when they don't do it. You know, that's why people have been struggling with it for years. And so people find an excuse. They come out with different scriptures and say, well, we don't have to do it anymore because it'll be abolished and so on and so forth, because they are under the pain of the tithes. You know, which is like a levy that is levied on them. Do you ever think that the word Levi might be connected to Levites? Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, levying the people for 10% or this or that other percentage and so forth, you know, that's not what we are under now. We are under the Melchizedek priesthood. But even under that priesthood, we are told that that Melchizedek received tithes from Abraham. And so Abraham gave tithes even before the law was given. So the law that came 430 something years after that could not eradicate the revelation of tithes. Amen? Hello? If you assume that the law has changed that, well, maybe it did. But that was the paying of the tithes. But the giving of the tithes was before the law was given. And that remains till this day. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, so I want to clarify the difference between the giving and the paying of the tithes. You know, so, and as long as we are, you know, under, you know, grace, we are not under, you know, the burdens, all of these burdens that people put burden on. You know, in fact, you know, I've heard people preach that, you know, oh, you know, we should keep, you know, these, you know, the Sabbath days, this day, and people argue about which day it is and so forth like that, and all of that, you know, and, you know, there's so many arguments about that back and forth that people, you know, say, and, you know, and there's even whole denominations and so forth, you know, that are formed around that. Amen? How many of you know that? On whether, you know, the Sabbath day, Saturday or Sunday or whatever, you know. But let me read this to you in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. Well, let me start a little earlier, because this is one of the reasons why people think that, you know, all the law was removed. You know. Verse 13 said, "You being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, he has quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances." You know, so that's what makes people to think that all that law has been removed. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of an holy day of new moon or the Sabbath day or any of these things." Amen? This is written to the New Testament church, you know. And in furthermore, he goes on to say, look, let every man be fully persuaded of his own accord. The book of Romans, we are told that. He said, you know, one person, you know, keeps this, you know, prefers this day over another day. The other person prefers that and so forth. You know, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind, you know. But we are told, you know, we are told in the book of Romans, you know, I want to read this to us. In the book of Romans, chapter 7 and verse 12. If you read the first part of Romans chapter 7, you know, and then you read the rest of it, you're going to think that, you know, we are just struggling with the law and we can't do anything right and the law is no good. Well, but he says here in Romans chapter 7 and verse 12, "Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment is holy and just and good." Can you say amen to that? That's right. And Jesus would later on say, like, look, if a man hath my commandment and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me will be loved of my Father, and we will come and make our abode unto him. Amen? But he says, if a man does not love me, then he will not keep my commandments. Let me read that to you in John chapter 14. Verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself unto him." Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, but he goes on to say, look, if a man love me, in verse 23, he will keep my words. You know, and so forth. And then we will come and make our abode to him, we'll manifest ourselves unto him. In verse 24, he says, "He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings." And so on. Now, let me say this on account of, we're running out of time here, you know, but let me say this, that the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. Amen? Is there a scripture for that? I believe it's in 1 John chapter 5. Let me read 1 John chapter 5. You know, the commandments of the Lord are not burdensome. I mean, God doesn't, you know, there's nothing burdensome about him. Because, in fact, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, you know, and I will give you rest." You know, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3, we are told, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous." That means they are not burdensome. Now, if you, anybody that really thinks that the commandments of the Lord are burdensome, then they have the wrong spirit. Praise God. Now, if we do not have the Levitical priesthood anymore, then, and if we say that, you know, there is a teaching, there is a revelation of tithing which came even before the law, then who really should we give our tithes to? You know, if we can't, I mean, we're not under the Levitical priesthood, I tell you that, you know, because we don't, we're not, you know, we're not the stock of the Jews and so on, and, you know, we don't have that law to give, you know, a tithe to any particular tribe, you know. But I want to tell you this, the same people that are quick to say that, well, you know, we don't belong to the tribe of Israel and all of that, and we don't need to be doing all that, the same people that are quick to say that, they are also quick to say that, you know, well, those of you who are aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel have now been grafted into the same vine. Hello? You know, so you can't use two-sidedness, you know, if you say, well, we don't belong to the, you know, to the children of Israel, we don't need to keep any of those things that they were commanded, well, maybe then you don't belong to the vine that was grafted back in. Maybe, you know, amen? Because the Bible says that the Gentiles were like wild branches, and they have now been grafted into the true holy vine, which is the stock of Israel, you know, so. But really, there are some parts of that Levitical law that have been done away with. We know that. The laws that have to do with sacrifices of goats and bulls and so on, because Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, has done away with that. But there are certain parts of that law that will never be done away with. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy mind and so forth. That will never be done away with. Can everybody say amen to that? That was the first commandment. It will never be done away with. So we cannot say that, you know, the law has been done away with and so forth. We have to use wisdom to understand that. Now, I will have to continue this subject next time on account of time. But I want to quickly tell you that giving in the New Testament church as a collection for the saints was something that was taught. Not necessarily that tithing and so forth like that. You say, well, you know, if we should tithe, well, if you want to tithe the way that Melchizedek tithed, I mean, Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, that would be to give it to the Lord. You know, because Melchizedek represented the Lord. And then in this particular church, we don't have any full-time, if you want to call it that, ministers or whatever that are paid out of the tithes and so on. You know, but in case you're saying that, you know, why should we even do that? Well, there's places where they have that. And Paul, he explained that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. He's going to tell you that, look, even people that minister at the altar, they should eat from the things of the altar. It's there in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things leave of the things of the temple? I mean, he's quoting freely from the Old Testament here. You know, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. He's quoting from the Old Testament. Even so hath the Lord ordained. Now, this is in the New Testament. Amen? Hello, is this in the New Testament?
Yes.
Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should leave of the gospel. It's there in the Old, I mean, in the New Testament. You know, so, you know, and that, you know, if it was left to everybody to just do whatever they wanted, what about these people that preach the gospel who should live of the gospel? How are they going to be supported? I'm not speaking about that about myself. Amen? Y'all know that I don't, you know, neither me nor any of the pastors here get paid. But I'm just talking what the Bible says. You know, there are people that preach the gospel who live of the gospel. There's no question about that. You know, one way to support them is through this method of giving and tithing and so on. You know, and they themselves, you know, if they follow it right, they themselves should give tithes to the Lord. Amen. Because we established that before. Now, here at GMI, you know, all of the tithes and offerings that people give are put right back. It's kind of like 100% tithes is what we give. Amen. Amen. Because we don't take anything to any personal benefit. You know, I don't, and neither do any of the pastors. You know, so it's kind of, we don't just give a tenth of the tenth, we give a hundred of the tenth back to the work of the ministry. Can you say praise the Lord for that? You know, so you can see that my motivation for telling you the way it is not, you know, it's not because I intend to gain something out of it. I'm just telling you the way it is. You know, but, you know, we have this commandment of the Lord, you know, a new commandment, which he said I will write in their hearts. This new commandment, even though it is a commandment nonetheless, it is of grace and it's of revelation. And it dates back to the days of Abraham, and Melchizedek. That's the new commandment. The old commandment that puts, the burden on the people and so forth like that, that's been done away with. We now have a better commandment. But if you think that 10% is too much to give, then you have the wrong spirit. I should tell you that. Amen? Because the Lord said it is mine to start with. And I will give you a short testimony to close this. And we'll have to continue this next time. Many, many years ago, of course, I grew up in an environment where I believed in tithing and so forth. I never went to any traditional churches all my life when I was a kid. But later on in life, when I started going to a regular fellowship and so forth, many years back in Nigeria, I recognized the need to tithe, but I didn't always do it faithfully. And when I came to the United States, I started going to church, and I used to tithe, but I didn't do it all the time, because then, I just couldn't make ends meet all the time. And I gave myself the excuse, I didn't have any savings. Remember, my wife used to tell me, look, we got to save. And I say, save? I can't even pay my bills. I'll save after I pay all the bills. and I used to say, look, I'm not going to tithe and so on, because I can't do it. But the whole time, every time I didn't do it, I felt guilty inside of me. Hello? And the Bible says that if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. But my heart was condemning me the whole time. And I, said, well, in 1987, listen to this. This will help some of you. In 1987, prior to that, I was in debt, badly in debt. Of course, my pastor then used to teach us to stay out of debt and so forth. I tried, but I was in debt. So finally, one day, the Lord was dealing with me, and I told the Lord something like what Jacob told him here, that we read. I said, Lord, if you help me, get me out of debt and all of these things, I'm going to clean up my life. I will not go back to debt. And I'm going to clean up my tithes. And I will pay my back tithes. I told you about the truth. I'm standing right here. But I said, Lord, you've got to help me. Because I can't do it. And then the Lord turned around. You see, when you say something to the Lord, he might turn around and tell you exactly the same thing that you just said. And the Lord turned around and said to me, well, if you will do this, then I will help you. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, because I tried to tell the Lord, you help me first, and I'll do this. And then the Lord turned around and said, look, if you will do this, then I will help you. And if you will faithfully give, then I will help you, and you will never lack all your days. My goodness. And then I made a pact with the Lord then. At the same time, I took my credit cards, I cut them up, and I just cut them up. It was like a war and a battle that we were fighting. Cut them up and threw them in the trash. And I told the Lord, that's it. And I went back and calculated some things that I needed to do and take care of some of the money that I had robbed of the Lord. And I remember that my wife, she woke up in the middle of the night. I think it was the night following the time that I was cutting up my credit card. She saw me doing during the day. She didn't say anything. And then she woke up in the middle of the night and laughed and laughed and laughed. She fell up from the bed to the floor. And she was laughing. I was like, there's some kind of laughter that's actually contagious. When somebody's laughing and laughing. She was laughing so hysterically, she fell off the bed. And I started laughing. I didn't know what she was laughing about. I was like, what are you laughing about? She couldn't say anything. She just kept laughing and laughing and laughing. Finally, when I got her to speak, she said, well, I saw how you were fighting with those credit cards. I said, well, if you knew what the Lord told me and what I told the Lord, you wouldn't be laughing. So anyway, I straightened all that out, and I guarantee you, I went back and I took care of business, and I took care of what I promised the Lord, and I promise you, till this day, that was 1987, this is 2011. Hello?
Hello.
Till this day, I have not been in debt. I don't owe anybody anything, and in fact, the Lord has taken care of all of my needs and then some. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Oh yeah. I remember for a whole year. Actually, I remember for 2.5 years in 2003, I decided to go back to ASU for my master's in computer science and all that. And I quit my job and did all that, and I didn't have an income and do whatever, you know. But all my bills were paid that whole 2.5 years. In fact, I had my mortgage on the house and so forth, because that was the only thing we had, because it was too big to pay by cash. I had that on automatic deduction from in my checking, even though there was no money coming in. And not one day till this day has any of that payment ever ceased. From the time that I made up my mind that I was going to take care of what the Lord instructed me. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. There are benefits to this thing, I promise you. And God has rebuked the devourer in my life. He has rebuked him everywhere. Everywhere I go, I see God working on my behalf. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, and the Lord has blessed, you know, and blessed and continues to bless. Now, there's no get-rich-quick program. Anybody tells you, you know, bring this money and then all your problems will be solved, they are lying, because the Bible doesn't teach that. Praise God. There is a law of sowing and harvesting, that's true, but you don't sow one day and reap the next day. It takes usually a year. That's a whole season. Praise God. Bible says Jacob sowed in that land, that same scripture we read, and he reaped in the same year, but it took a whole year. You know, they have to do some things. You have to stay with the program, till the land, and do all of these things and so forth. Finally, the harvest will come. Now, the conclusion that I will do today, I didn't have time to go into all the collection of the saints and so forth, but the conclusion that I will do on account of time for tithes and offerings is this. Tithes and offerings was a commandment under the Levitical law, which, whether you argue that it was eradicated or not, that's fine. But we are no longer under that Levitical priesthood. The priesthood that we are under now, which is the priesthood of Melchizedek, he received tithes from Abraham.
Amen.
And Abraham gave, not paid, tithes. So the difference is, the giving of tithes is by revelation, and it came before the law was given. Amen? So the law that came 430 something years afterward cannot eradicate the covenant of grace and promise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And until this day, tithing continues. And the reason why in the New Testament they didn't, deliberate too much on these things is some things were assumed. And most of the time the things, and I've showed you where he said, those men who are here, who received tithes here, so there was something that was going on. There are some things that they wrote about were usually issues that people had problems with, and they dealt with it, or some revelation that God wanted to bring. It wasn't every single thing that was under the sun that they wrote about. But there was a time they wrote to the Gentiles, because the Jews were trying to make the Gentiles the grown men, not the babies, exactly. I think it was babies. I don't think anybody would be complaining. But they were trying to make the grown men who are already grown. I mean, they were in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever. They accepted the Lord and became, believers. And then they were trying to make those people go back and be circumcised. And that was burdensome to the Gentiles. And the apostles got together and said, look, I tell you what. You guys don't need to worry about that. And you shouldn't put any burden on those people. Let them stay away from the things that are strangled, because the Gentiles used to eat strangle things and blood and do all of those things. Say, look, stay away from that, stay away from fornication and so forth. But you just believe the Lord and so forth. So they took care of issues that were prevalent. Amen? But giving and tithing was never an issue. In fact, Paul said, concerning the collection for the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, because you already know these things. But I want you to do it this way. So he went on and said that. So we're going to talk about that next time. I'd like us to stand to our feet, if you would, please. A subject like this that you have to teach and teach and teach will generally take longer, so we apologize for that. But we're trying to make sure that everybody understands this. Now, for those of you who may not have been giving your tithes or your offerings and all of these things because you think that it was eradicated under the Levitical priesthood, well, I don't argue with you, but I'm saying that we are not under that priesthood anyway. This was before that, and it came by revelation. And if you will do it faithfully, now, God may, individuals, I don't care what God tells you as an individual, that's between you and him, that's your business. Amen? You know, that's your business, whatever God tells you. That's why I don't, most of the time when I preach, I don't like to preach stories about myself. I just preach the word. God can tell you to do anything. That's your business. God told Hosea to go marry a harlot. That's contrary to the word. But that's his business. You know, God told, you know, this person to walk naked, Isaiah walk naked, and this other person do this. You know, told them to do some crazy things. That's their business. You know, if you tell me that God told you to do something that sounds crazy, that's your business. I won't contend with you. But when it comes to the church, we go by this word. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Any individual can claim that God, if God told you not to give tithes, that's your business. I'm not contending with you. But I'm telling you what the Lord has for the church. You know, you can do whatever you want in your private life. But this is for the church. Because by the church, for the church, we have to go by the word of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. But let every man be fully persuaded in their mind, whatever you want. But we don't ever want to put a guilt trip on anybody. You know, that's not my job. That's the Holy Ghost. He'll do that. He'll convict you already. Amen? Those of you that are already feeling guilty about not giving tithes, then you know you should be giving your tithes. Praise God. But don't ever say that, well, I don't have my bills to pay and so forth like that. You know, if you do that, then you are robbing the Lord. You give to God what is His, and He'll take care of everything that He promised that He'll take care of. Raise up your hands and let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I have a lot more to say. I'm going to have to say it later on and so forth like that. But this is the truth. If I ever told it, that God commanded this, even under the Levitical priesthood, and they kept it. And when they didn't keep it, He reprimanded them for not keeping it. But even those of us today that have come under a new priesthood have this grace, you know, that began even before the law, which Abraham did. And if we are children of Abraham, we do the same. And if you have the mind of Christ, 10% is nothing to give to the Lord when He allows you to enjoy 90%. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God could have asked us to give Him 90% and keep only 10%, but He only said give 10% and enjoy the 90% yourself. In the next lessons about this, we will actually talk about how do you give and what do you give and what can you do with your tithes and so forth like that. We will talk about that, but what we have established today is that the law could not eradicate the giving of tithes because the giving of tithes came before the law. If you understand that, say amen.
Yes.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Lord Jesus, give understanding to everyone today. Hallelujah. And those of you that knew that you should be giving your tithes, but you have been giving the Lord out of the bottom rather than from the top, He wants first fruits, not last fruits. And I corrected that here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you give understanding to everybody concerning the word of God and what we have taught here today. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, Lord Jesus, we know that your commandments are not grievous, and we do not put the burden or any grievous commandments or laden the people with anything other than what the word of God has already commanded. And we know, Lord, that neither giving of tithes nor not giving of tithes, you know, is how we are saved. And we pray, Lord, that you will teach the people to understand that. You know, but when we have understanding of salvation, when we have received the Lord into our lives, we are faithful and we are grateful to Him in extending our thanks in our giving, not only in tithes, but also in offerings, even as Abraham and Jacob did. We give you the praise for this understanding. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God.